You're listening to the We Lead Well podcast, where well-being matters. The show is brought to you in partnership with Transform Education Coaching, headteacherchat.com and the Teach Well Alliance. Hello, and welcome to the first in a series of COVID specials of the podcast. I follow lots of head teachers and school leaders on Twitter, and one of the things that's become abundantly clear recently is that they're struggling. Being a leader can be a lonely job at the best of times, but it seems like the COVID crisis is making heads feel more isolated than they ever have been at a time when they need more support than they've ever had. So I've put together a series of special episodes of the podcast with head teachers, trust leaders, and executive heads. We've all shared their experience of the crisis in their schools. I hope that heads and leaders in schools can listen and feel a bit less alone. I also hope that you might pick up some ideas or strategies that you can use to support the well-being of staff in your schools, as I know that staff are struggling too. In the first special, I talked to David Waugh, a trust leader and ex-vice president of ASCL. I hope you find it useful. Good morning, David Waugh. Welcome to our COVID special of the podcast. Could you just start by giving us an introduction to yourself and the listeners?
Hi, Vicky. So my name's David Waugh. I'm currently the head teacher of Poynton High School and the trust leader of the True Learning Partnership, which is two high schools and three primary schools. And for this last year, I've also been ASCL's vice president.
So you must have been exceptionally busy lately, I guess.
Or been sat around doing nothing. I mean, there's nothing to do. Yeah, very. Yeah.
So can you just take us through what you've been doing and how it's had an impact on the way that you've had to work recently?
Well, it's not even an elephant in the room. The major focus at the moment is everything's COVID, COVID and thrice COVID. And I think for experienced or long-serving heads such as myself and a lot of my colleagues, I don't think we've ever existed in such a state of critical incident management for so long. And that's probably my best way of describing it. This isn't a strategy or a new focus. It's a constant critical incident management. And a lot of heads and senior leaders are experienced in critical incident management, but they're generally time limited. You know, whatever the incident is, it's over in a fortnight, it may go on, and there's often peaks and troughs, or it's huge in the first 24 hours and then tails off for a bit. COVID is constant, high density, critical incident management. And also, the other challenge being, there is no single side of the argument on this incident. So traditionally, when you have an incident or something going on in school, you generally have one-sided response. In other words, you know, you put out a new mobile phone policy or a new behaviour policy, you might have one side of the response saying they hate it and you just have to deal with that. Whereas the decisions you're making on COVID get multiple responses all competing. So for example, this weekend, I've had a positive case with a member of staff. And I've had more parental complaints on both sides. I'm being soft, COVID is fake news, I'm not going far enough, my children aren't safe, where's the public health advice, where's the Cheshire East local authority advice? You just can't win. There is no single view on this, and you're stuck in the middle. And at the end of the day, let's just be honest, I'm just a failed maths teacher, not a scientific virologist expert. And it's that real challenge that says it's constant critical incident management and you can't please anyone. And that's, I would say, listeners are feeling that. No one.
Yeah. It's interesting that you talk about the parental response, because I was reading on a forum a head teacher who asked how she should respond to parents who were complaining. Like you say, it seems to be either one way or the other. You're going too far or you're not doing enough. How have you responded to parent complaints?
In detail, so no fobbing off, that this is the decision I've made, this is the reason I've made it, but also pointing out within that decision that ultimately I am responsible. It is personally and professionally me who is responsible for the health, safety and welfare of all the people in my care. And yes, this decision may not be the decision you want, but it is the decision I am making. It is my school and I am responsible. And you have to you have to stand your guns on this and acknowledge, yeah, I know you don't agree, but in the round, this is the decision I'm making. Oh, and I'm over-communicating, massively over-communicating, detailed letters, detailed responses. It's constant.
And one of the things that you said, and as a senior leader myself, I've been through critical incident training. And like you were saying, it's normally over within a 2-week period, but it's a particularly stressful time. Now, being a senior leader or being a head is stressful in itself, just in day-to-day, in the day-to-day running of a school. So to have this on top and for it to be so sustained over such a long period of time is having a major impact on people, senior leaders and heads. What impact is it having on you, and what are you doing to cope with it?
I'm exhausted. I'm laughing at that, but I'm absolutely exhausted, as is everyone. And our systems are really robust. Things that I've done, so for example, I don't want the same conversation happening three times over. So one of the things I've done for the schools is say, listen, this member of staff is in charge of this aspect of COVID. This member of staff is in charge of this aspect of COVID. So what I've done is I've given very clear roles for each member of the critical incident or senior management team and said, listen, you're in charge of this bit, you're in charge of this bit, you're in charge of this bit. Because what's happening is, because with staff, some staff are blasé about it, some staff are petrified, some staff are confused. And what you've therefore got is you're having repeated conversations with repeated people. So actually, you're exponentially increasing the workload because the same conversation is happening three times over.
Yeah.
So I've then sat the SLT down and said, listen, you don't have a conversation about this person's remit. Move them on because you've got enough to do. What I've then also done is I've then got SLT to have a day at home a fortnight.
Right.
Because actually we can't lose the agenda of teaching and learning. Because if we're not careful, we are going to wake up in 6 months' time and nothing else has been done. So I've tried to rationalise and make it clear for staff, this is what each person is in charge of. Please don't have conversations with other people on SLT if it's not their remit, and vice versa, SLT, you've got to facilitate that. I've then got some capacity by getting SLT to have a day, a fortnight at home working on their normal agendas. And I've also protected the member of SLT who's in charge of teaching and learning. They're not on the COVID critical incident. Because I want teaching and learning to keep on going and supporting in that way. So I've tried to protect the strategy. The other bit I've done, which is just quickly, we can't ignore the fact that we're in COVID. So what I've done with the school improvement plan is I've said there's two. There's a 1-year impact plan. We can't ignore the fact that things aren't normal. So a 1-year, these are the 7 things that we're going to concentrate on in this context, COVID context. And then there's the 3-year development plan and try and manage both. We can't ignore one and we can't ignore the other. But if you try and mix the two, you'll drop the agenda of teaching and learning and pedagogy and metacognition. But we're in critical incidents, so trying to just have streamlined work, it seems to be working, but at times it feels as if nothing else is getting done.
I think that is really useful advice, actually. I think at the best of times, staff need to be clear on their roles, and that's one of the things that we've looked at in terms of wellbeing in an interview that I did with another head teacher. But especially now, I think that makes an awful lot of sense. And I think the things that you've talked about there, I think will be really useful to heads who are thinking about how they want to move forward now that they know this is going to carry on possibly, you know, for the whole of this next academic school year.
It's not going away.
No.
And the difficulty is it's not the tier two planning, I feel. I feel tier two and tier three planning's fine. It's the staff hokey cokey that we're in now is the hard bit. Yeah. You know, they're in, they're out. They're in, they're out. They shake it all about. You know, if you, it's that, it's us all being in and the fluidity of staff, which is the hard bit to cope with. So I've put in, so for example, Thursday and Friday this week, I've put in two training days just for staff to get on top of their tier one, two, three planning.
And how have you managed that as a whole school and with the pupils? And
so one of them's an official training day and one of them's a remote learning day. So things will be set on Google Classroom for the kids.
One of the things we have been really interested in and looking at on some forums is head teachers who are feeling pretty isolated and quite lonely at the moment. And I know you've worked as the vice chair of ASCL?
Vice president of ASCL.
So could you talk through a few things that heads who are feeling isolated and are looking for some support can do?
So there's a number of things. From an ASCL point of view, hotline and thrice hotline. If you need to pick up the phone, just pick up the phone. There are experienced leaders there at the other end just to listen. What's also coming out from ASCL this week is a support plan. And I know Jeff Barton and Richard Sheriff and the team are working on a specific senior leaders help package. So that's coming out. So if you're not a member, become a member. But I'm not on commission, I promise. But actually, they're putting out a welfare package for the senior leaders. So I'd look at that. Honestly, I'd set up a heads WhatsApp group, because that's one of the things that we found here in Cheshire East has been a real help. Just all of the heads across, and senior leaders, the deputies as well, the assistant heads are all on one WhatsApp group, where you can just put this stupid question. Listen, if this happens, what have you done? Or I've heard this, what about this? And we've also got weekly Zoom meetings. You know, secondary heads often come together once a term.
Yeah.
We're now on once a week on Zoom just to share where we're up to. You know, member of staff gets COVID. Do you send the whole class? Do you send the front row? Do you send the bubble? Do you send the year group? Do you close at the school? It's... well, take your pick. And it's that consistency that you need, whereas previously we've not had such an agenda or a topic or an incident where actually united we must be. And I know it sounds a bit twee about a WhatsApp group or some sort of forum where you can just confidentially ask a stupid question, because there's no such thing.
Yeah, we at the show's actually made in partnership with Head Teacher Chat as well. They offer online forums, so that's a good place to go to, headteacherchat.com. There's lots of different conversations taking place on there. I think that was actually where I got the question about being isolated from. So what's the biggest challenge you've faced, and what have you done to overcome it, just to finish?
And the biggest challenge is the sheer density of COVID. And I know that sounds, well, that's a bit obvious. It's just to reiterate, it's a constant state of critical incident management. And there's no one side of the debate. It is such a multitude of a debate. It's unbelievable. So, for example, on Sunday, one positive case of a member of staff. But that led to 8 hours Sunday, Monday morning, just to manage that, from ringing a parent who I knew when they got the letter that their child had to self-isolate would go into a fit because of their own health.
Yeah.
That a child, you know, dealing with a member, dealing with a parent, sorry, who's, their child is nothing related to this case, but they're due to go into life-saving surgery in 3 weeks' time. And if they had to self-isolate their child, that surgery for their child would be cancelled. All the way to parental email saying it's fake news and I'm making it up and being soft and, you know, they should just get in. There's just, I've never come across a topic or an agenda or something we've done where it's just everything at every level, on every way. It's whiplash.
And there's so much learning taking place, I guess, and mistakes being made and learning and moving on to the next issue as it comes up.
And that mistakes being made and learning to move forward is often borne out of the fact that there isn't a single piece of COVID-related guidance which isn't on 252 pages.
Yeah.
It's just so dense. We get a daily email from the DfE. Sometimes we get two, sometimes we get six, then the RSC, then the ESFA, then the local authority, and then the sheer magnitude of information flow is huge, which is honestly why set up a group, whether or not it be with head teacher chat or WhatsApp or whatever, where you can just say, listen, I know I've read this, but can someone just remind me?
Yeah, and
no
question.
Collective mind, yeah?
No question is too stupid.
No, there is absolutely no question is a stupid question.
Yeah, I think that's reassurance that people need, because in these times when you don't know what to do about something, you just need someone to turn to say, give me some ideas, what can I do about this? And I think listening to you speak about it is going to be really helpful to a number of heads who are listening to this, I'm sure. So thanks very much. I just want to finish by saying, where's the hope? What are your hopes? You know, where's the light at the end of the tunnel? Where can you see some positives?
At the end of the day, I know this sounds a bit twee, but actually, we're learning lots about the norms and the assumptions that we previously had around lunches and breaks and split lunches and students moving around. You know, the norms.
Yeah.
Actually, and I have to say this, lunchtime's a delight.
Heard that said by lots of people.
It's just a delight. And actually, the staff are shattered moving around, but the kids are being brilliant. They're not getting a bad deal. If we can keep them in,
yeah,
and the staff in, they're really genuinely not getting a bad deal. At some point in 6 months, 9 months, I think there's going to be a real need to reflect and say, how do we make sure we don't go back to the natural assumptions that we used to make, that it had to start then, it had to be then, it had to do then?
Yeah. You know, it's interesting how much more flexible it's been possible to be than ever was thought.
Yeah. Why do we have to do parents' evening in the way we've always done it? There's an app. Everything else is done on an app.
Yeah.
Just, I think there's hope in that actually there's real learning to challenge our normal assumptions. And lastly from me would be the heads, for the people who are taking it all on their shoulders. Someone said to me recently, eat, sleep, and be like broccoli. And I think actually every day you just need to make sure you eat, you sleep, and you just sit still for 5 minutes every day, because you need to be like broccoli. And I know that sounds daft, just sit quietly, because you can't steer this ship or lead and make the decisions you need if you've not got a bit of self-care.
Brilliant. Thanks, David, so much. I'm sure the listeners are going to find that really useful.
I'm sure that you found David's experience, strategies and ideas useful. He's very pragmatic and he seems to be taking a really positive and calm approach in a particularly stressful time. Finding a support network and asking questions, no matter how ridiculous or insignificant they may seem, is a great piece of advice and possibly the most useful one that David shared with us. David also, I think, creates a sense of hope, a light at the end of the tunnel, so to speak, that the COVID crisis, yes, it's been challenging, and that might be an understatement, but it's made us look at how we can do things in a different way. And maybe it will make us change our approach to how we face challenges and problems in the future and help us to see that we can do things that we've never tried before. Things that we thought were impossible are actually possible. There is a different way and it can be done. Thanks for listening. Take care of yourself, take care of your staff, and lead well. This show was brought to you in partnership with Transform Education Coaching, headteacherchat.com and the Teach Well Alliance.